This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 24th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Amy Guida in her Legal Issues in the News looks at when art or writing can become a warning of violence. We'll also have a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser first to look at news. Illinois and 14 other states are getting failing grades in an assessment of legal representation provided to abused and neglected children. The lawyers are needed as courts make potentially fateful decisions about whether to separate the children from their families. The report is sharply critical of states that don't require all children in the proceedings to be represented by their own attorneys. The report's being released by the Washington-based child advocacy group First Star. It commends the 17 states that require lawyers in those cases to represent the children's expressed wishes and ensure those preferences are heard in court. Kendall Marlowe of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services says the agency hasn't fully reviewed the report, but he disagrees with its characterization of legal representation in the state, adding that DCFS also questions the scope of the study. A judge has exonerated a man in Chicago after he served nearly 25 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Mike Ree has more.
When the judge cleared Jerry Miller's conviction, more than 20 of his friends and family members erupted in applause. Miller went to jail in 1982 at the age of 22 for the alleged rape and robbery of a white woman in downtown Chicago. Miller had always said he was innocent, and DNA testing over the last year proved it. Miller says he's ready to move on.
I'm very thankful. You know, I had a lot of help. I have a lot of support. You know, and obviously I'm happy. You know, I want to get on with my life. You know, start a life, have a life.
The same DNA evidence that cleared Miller implicates another man. He is currently in jail, awaiting trial for other similar crimes. I'm Mike Ree.
Parkland College trustees hold a closed meeting tomorrow night to discuss a four-week medical leave for the school's president. The community college announced Robert Exley's leave yesterday, but aside from saying that Exley's currently at home, a spokeswoman wouldn't expand on the release, including the exact reason for the leave. Exley suffered a heart attack last November and underwent bypass surgery. He's been Parkland's president since last summer. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says the college loan industry clearly needs reform, and a settlement announced yesterday should go a long way toward that. A code of conduct established in three states asks colleges to disclose why certain lenders are on a preferred lender list. Madigan says it was established with the best interests of seeking those seeking a college loan in mind.
Unfortunately, right now, students and their parents are not aware. The information has not been provided to them about these potential conflicts of interest, and obviously there is a failure to disclose. So while we would always encourage students and parents to ask a lot of questions, oftentimes this information has not been made available.
Settlements have been reached with Illinois-based DeVry University and with Career Education Corporation, which operates a number of schools and universities around the country. Both institutions will not only abide by the code of conduct, but return funds received by lenders. Some of that money will go toward an education fund that'll better inform parents and students before they take out those loans. The Rantoul Village Board will consider a 5% increase in local electric rates at a meeting tonight. Rantoul operates its own municipal electric utility for its residents and businesses. The village utility was not subject to the 10-year rate freeze that was recently lifted for Ameren and ComEd. Rantoul Village Administrator David Johnston says they consider rate changes every 3 to 5 years. This time, he says, the village must deal with rising prices faced by the power plants that they contract with for electricity.
Just like we're seeing the energy costs go up with gas and all that, the fuel cost to produce the energy is going up as well, and we have to match those. And those are increasing far faster than the basic consumer inflation rate.
Rantoul and other municipal utilities receive electricity from several Kentucky power plants and don't buy electricity from Ameren or other electric companies in Illinois. The 5% rate hike proposal comes from a consultant's report. The Rantoul Village Board will hear that report and act on the proposal at its meeting tonight. Urbana City Council will look into using financial incentives to encourage property owners to seek historic landmark status for their properties. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Urbana City Council members voted last night to direct city staff to research possible incentives that would encourage property owners who have been holding back from seeking the city's historic landmark designation. Alderman Dennis Roberts cited the case of two old homes on Elm Street, long used as apartment buildings. Neighbors have proposed historic landmark status for the buildings, but their owner said that without financial incentives, he'd rather tear them down in favor of building new apartments. Robert says such demolitions take their toll on Urbana.
And if we lose the ones on Elm Street, you know, that's this year. What will we lose 2 years from now when something else is falling apart and when the property owner is not interested in doing the landmarking?
The financial incentives could include lower Urbana City property taxes, tax rebates, loans, or outright grants. Robert says the incentives should be awarded along with the historic landmark designation to take the sting out of the designation's limits on changes to building exteriors. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When does one person's art or writing become another's warning of violence? As commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, courts have tried to answer that question for a while now, and the shooting at Virginia Tech last week may change some opinions.
The First Amendment promises freedom of speech. This means that we have a right to use images and words to express ourselves, and not only in the context of a political campaign. Our art, our poetry, our creative writing are also all protected by the Constitution. The criminal law protects us, too. It can be a crime to threaten another. Should the threats become what the law considers true threats, the state can step in and punish criminally the one who made them. The clash between the First Amendment's freedom of expression and the criminal law can be especially difficult when it comes to art. When a painting, for example, seems to glorify a violent act, or when a play's dialogue outlines a murder. And courts have been called upon to decide how far artists or writers may go in embracing violent themes before their expression can be suppressed for threatening others. Last week, we heard and read about the Virginia Tech shooter and his many startling words. His plays scared his fellow students. His poetry alarmed his teachers. Several said that they thought that he would kill others, that they knew immediately that he'd been the one behind the gun on April 16th. His writings had alerted them long ago, they said. But violence is part of our culture. When does a fixation on violent video games, for example, show a potential for dangerousness? When do words like the ones written by the Virginia Tech shooter, "You don't think I can kill you? Gotcha," become red flags enough to transform a play into a threat? The courts have confronted the question most directly in cases involving high school students. And the outcomes, not surprisingly, aren't uniform. It's tough to draw a clean line between threats and art. Both are subject to interpretation and often purposely ambiguous. Here's what one court wrote about an angry and grisly story that created a stir at a Wisconsin high school. In the context of a creative writing class, the story does not amount to a true threat. Regarding a scary and disturbing painting that showed a police officer dying from a bullet wound to the head, as an expression of an idea or intention, a painting, even a graphically violent painting, is necessarily ambiguous because it may use symbolism, exaggeration, and make-believe. As one court put it, although schools are being asked to do more to prevent violence, the Constitution sets limits as to how far they can go. That case, all the more chilling in the wake of last week's events, involved a poem titled Last Words, in which a gunman enters a classroom and shoots 28 people to death. Not all courts have been as understanding, certainly, and the unprecedented scale of last week's tragedy may well push courts to redraw the boundary separating free expression from unlawful intimidation. Surely the next English major whose writings revel in violent imagery can expect closer scrutiny from teachers. After Virginia Tech, that's inevitable and probably appropriate. Cho's brutality last week left 32 mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters dead, and countless others in unspeakable grief. In all likelihood, he can also count some measure of our freedom of expression among his victims as well. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Weather forecast includes the introduction of rain again in our area for this week. In fact, it will be a rainy remainder of the week. little bit of sunshine started off the morning, though. In far northern Illinois today, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser, mostly cloudy rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. In west central and southern Illinois and in southwest Indiana, becoming cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving in the afternoon. Elsewhere, just increasing cloudiness. And highs ranging from around 60 near Lake Michigan to 77 in the south. For tonight, across Illinois and in west central and southern Indiana, cloudy with areas of rain and thunderstorms. In northern and eastern Indiana, cloudy with those showers and thunderstorms arriving late. Lows ranging from 44 in the north to 62 in the south. And for tomorrow, across the two states, cloudy with widespread rain and thunderstorms, and highs from 52 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.